There's no better time than now to trade your car, as I know, because the trade-in is good for amazing new vehicles as well as a certified and used car. And no matter the car deal, expect the Roark advantage in my new Honda CR-V hybrid, thanks to Lair
Bear. Can you tell he just got it today? The other advantage at Roark is the parking lot of fun shows with comedians and musicians. Check yourjagup.com for details and visit roark.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And now we start the Yajagup podcast from...
up the road from the Tap Club at the Curling Club.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
And this is the Yajaga podcast. But listen, what I was teasing with before was, I'm not sure where we are. We know I'm proximity challenge, but yeah. It's Stowe Township. It's
this
not
is
Mickey
Stowe
Rock.
Township. And okay. People who grew up in the Rocks that know Michael Keaton would know that when he was here filming the show, the movie, the Japanese car movie. Huh? Gung-ho. He's here.
Thank God.
He had his birthday party right around the bend at this little restaurant. And all these limousines were there, and all
that's
the bigwigs
cool.
were here.
Yeah, that's so cool. So. That's the benefit of living in this neighborhood.
Right.
All right, this is where we talk about what was on the blog. So, as we've said before, we're really lucky because we get to interview really cool people who have really cool stories in Pittsburgh. It's the noun, the people, the place, and the things. So, we talk to really unique people at new locations, at cool locations, places you might not have known about, and we talk about unique things in Pittsburgh. But every day of the week, other than Tuesday when the podcast comes out, we name some jagoffs.
Right.
John's really, really good at it because he's usually the guy behind the horn honking at you. It's usually car driven. And there's a theme this week. Did you notice that?
No.
It's all crosswalk stuff.
Oh, is that right?
It's okay. Literally all crosswalk stuff. One was that he hates texters and walkers.
You know, when you're supposed to let people, in Bellevue, it's very strict. You let people cross. But if you're crossing, don't text. You know, move. There's a straight line. Go on the straight line. Get over the other side. Then text, right?
Yeah, I know. But yeah. You get angry.
See how many? Yeah.
Okay.
Settle down. We're going
right.
Curling.
And then it's a crosswalk for a reason, right?
Right.
So that was another one.
Yeah.
But the best one that was the jagoff of the week on Star 100.7 with Alista was John, because he was running late, believe it or not, to hockey, and he just parked in a crosswalk.
So I pulled into the UPMC Sports Complex. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm late. I parked my car. It was perfectly parked between two white lines. And the bad news is it was the brick walkway. So one of my guys I play hockey with came out and tweeted me my own car that I was a jagoff.
So he got to go on Alista today and say right. I was the jagoff of the week. There
so
you
that's
go.
So we also remind you that on Star 100.7, you know, we're affiliated with them. Every day at 4:55, you can listen to the Daily Dose of Good News with Kelly. And if you have some daily good news, if you have things going on in your community, message us so we can make it the Daily
Dose.
Yeah,
we'll totally mention that you did. But here's what's really cool. This is one of those podcasts where we go, oh, you know what to do because you've been on before. So we get to have the guy. You know, we've referenced his last name, Paradise, a million times that his job working at Kennywood has to be paradise. Well, he's here again, Nick Paradise, and we get to talk to him because it is that time. School picnics, sun shining, going to the park. Who doesn't want to go to Kennywood because we missed out on an entire year? Welcome, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's so good to be back.
Oh, it's good to see you. Not on a screen and not, you know, on a phone where we're like, what did you say? Can you repeat yourself? It's just good
I
to
know,
kind of be in
I
person,
know.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's
Nick, when you go to parties, is the worst joke ever played on you say, hey, Nick, Kennywood's open. Do they
You've
do
asked
that?
Him this before. I
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm used to bad jokes like that because, again, my last name is Paradise.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just kind of, it just they all just roll off.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So we obviously, you know, we missed talking to you last year. As we said
yeah,
before
sure.
we came on, we have the luxury of talking with you at the pierogi festivals. And we skipped last year
mm-hmm,
completely.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to work with you with something in the winter. Skip that. So here we are. Give us a lowdown, like, of what to expect. Like, we want to go this week.
Yeah.
But we can't
yeah.
yet, right?
Well, I mean, kind of.
Kind
you can
of?
Go this weekend.
Okay.
Saturday, May 8th. So it'll be this coming Saturday when
oh,
when
yeah,
this
right
airs.
Before Mother's
so, yeah.
Day.
Okay.
Yeah, right, right.
Absolutely. So we're open for Mother's Day. And that's for a lot of people, that's a tradition in itself, is Mother's Day Kennywood trip. Yeah, there's a certain solid contingent, and it's also like usually one of those days that's a good low-key day to go, because a lot of people wouldn't think about that for Mother's Day, but there's just as many people that do. But no, we're really excited to just, I mean, a lot of it is just that bounce back and getting back so many things that even though we opened last year, it was so late, in middle of July. We had, you know, rides that, you know, we were not able to open because work got derailed for months and months, and then couldn't get parts in that we needed, and just all kinds of stuff like that. So we're just really excited for this year to be a big step closer to normal. Obviously, there's still going to be a lot of the things that we're all used to now, right now at this point, after a year of this. But it's going to be so much more like what we were accustomed to. And we're just really excited to, you know, see our guests back and be able to host people for fun. You mentioned the school picnics.
Yeah.
You know, the company picnics, yeah, the traditional outings and things like that. So we're really excited for that normal and some new things, too.
Family reunions.
Yeah. I mean, we're back booking groups again. We're really, okay, you know, encouraged by the businesses that and we have so many, you know, businesses out there that have been loyal and families and things like that.
Yeah.
And really appreciate that. And, you know, you're kind of like, I don't know what it's going to be like. But we've been really encouraged by the number of people that have been, you know, willing to make that commitment and come back and, you know, spend a special day with us like that. So,
Nick,
yeah,
do you have a favorite story of someone that kind of came back to Pittsburgh for, you know, a special thing? Either they met at Kennywood and their 50th anniversary, or do you have any kind of fun stories like that? I'm sure you've been involved in
stories. I know, that's a tough one offhand, because there's so many. It starts to run together at this point. But it, you know, it is neat to see those people that, you know, I got a letter this week that was like, it was like a random, and it almost was like a fill-in-the-blank question. It was like, my wife and I came and we rode this, or when we were dating in 1964, what roller coaster was here? And it was an empty line for to fill in. And then we came back in 1999, and what roller coaster was there? And another blank line. And I'm like, you know, and it's
four.
Like, and it was stamped and like, send it back to me. Of like,
that's so cute.
I'm like, I don't know, but there's a lot of, you know, there's
you
more than one.
Mad Lib.
It was like a Mad Lib of a guest letter that was like, okay, let me think about.
Well,
that.
And that's funny you say that, because I was going to ask. I'm sure you had correspondence with people. Like, you weren't just sitting at home with these babies that you have and doing nothing during Kennywood not being open. I'm sure people were emailing, and I did see so many people with well wishes talking about what they miss and things like that. But what are they most excited about? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think people, I mean, one of the biggest things is for the Steel Curtain. You know, it opened in 2019 during the summer. It was really, you know, people were really excited. It won awards for, you know, best new coaster that opened that year.
Right.
And then that's a big one that, you know, we had some work we're doing on it. And then like March of last year, and then everything got shut down. And we weren't able to get the parts that we needed to complete that work because, you know, not just was everything was shut down.
Sure.
You know, you couldn't just get things or people back and forth like normal last year. So that's, you know, been
is that
running.
What
it's
this
ready
week
to
is
go.
Then? Kind of getting them all ready and like.
I mean, that's been going on, but, you know, sure. opening day, you know, so that to have that, you know, that by all expectations should be up and running and going and just getting back. I mean, there's always that excitement to get the rides going again every winter, but it's definitely ramped up this year to see the level of people that are just excited, whether it's the rides or get the potato patch fries or, you know, some of the, you know, having some new things that are coming all along too.
Are there new foods this year at all?
So we are going to have, it's been hanging. I've been asking my food guys, what's going on? Cause it's been in the air and it just kind of finally got made official. We are going to, turn over one of our stands to Millie's homemade ice cream.
Boom, Colin. That's
so,
like your fave.
They're going to be operating. It's been an ice cream stand for a long time. It's a stand right across from Noah's Ark. So it's kind of catty corner from the potato patch. So I already saw people, you know, they're planning the potato patch fries followed by topped off by Millie. So that's an exciting food vendor. And then later in the summer, we're doing a big food event throughout the entire month of June. That's going to have a lot of specialty items that are only available during that period that we're, you know, excited and hoping that's going to get people out beyond the school picnic or the company picnic for a second time.
I said, like, the mom in me is like, oh my gosh, my kids are going to be like, Mom, can I go to Kennywood? Can I go to Kennywood? Can I go to Kennywood? Because literally that anticipation, it's like the first day of school, right? They're always like, oh, I don't want to go. But then when it comes, you're so excited because it's finally here.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's what you're – I mean, hey, it's just a mom in me, but I really think that's what you're going to expect. You're going to open those doors, and you're going to be like, this is great to see life again.
Yeah, no, we're really excited, and, you know, the signals have been really good, and we're looking, you know, kind of steadily adding days back on our calendar, because at first, you know, when you're planning in the winter, you're not sure what's the world going to look like come summertime.
Sure.
But as things have continued to look better and better, it's okay, we're going to add more days on. Hopefully we'll be adding hours on and just – you know, getting back to a much more normal state of operation for the park, which is super thrilling.
And what else? What about the water rides? Everything's good there?
Yeah, I mean, those will probably, you know, depending on the weather, probably the Raging Rapids be more like Memorial Day weekend. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at, you know, aside from, there's a few that we're right now not going to, you know, we're going to keep closed. Things that are real indoors, real touch, you know, touch heavy. Probably the Noah's Ark, you know, at least for the start of the season, you know, won't be open. And hopefully things will get, you know, improved to where we say, okay, let's roll it out. Let's open it up.
And obviously, and not to, like, be the wah-wah mom, but safety precautions are completely in place for anyone
Absolutely. I mean, and I always say, like, when you operate an amusement park and you operate those rides, like, safety is always number one, because if people don't feel safe on the rides, then, you know, that's the whole business model, right?
Sure.
So, you know, obviously the challenges were new challenges last year, but the mindset was not a new mindset for us to just shift to how we answered those questions.
Steeler Country.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, we know the roller coaster's there, but the whole area is Steeler Country.
Yeah, so the restaurant, the End Zone Cafe, it'll be open. The gift area will be open. We are, because that indoor building that was experienced, and it was planned to be, again, indoors and real touch heavy and kind of those activities. So, you know, playing it safe, we're going to keep that closed for right now, but the rest of the land should be open. And, you know, yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, people haven't really got to experience it yet. Just like, you know, the old mill. We did that last year. People were so excited. I remember we announced that like 5 days before the world shut down. And I had like the news folks were out, and it was almost like a lighthearted, you know, we're going to be back in a couple weeks. Ask you what you're doing for COVID. And then, you know, it was 5 days later and everything was, you know, the schools were closed and everything.
Yeah.
So I know so many people didn't get to experience that, but, you know, they really did a great job. Our team working with Scarehouse to create you know, a new fun experience. It also has a lot of callbacks and shout outs to what people remember from back in the day. So kind of that best of both worlds. So we're really, you know, just excited to get people able to get go and enjoy those things.
That's awesome. Now, before we get to the question of the day, we're going curling tonight. Now, you haven't had a chance to do that yet, but you're looking over the arena here.
They're
What are you thinking? Like, what do you know about? Do you know anything about?
I mean, curling? I've watched a handful in the Winter Olympics.
That's all I keep saying. Like, that's what I know.
I don't.
Right?
But I was trying to, like, I was looking at the things and the guy.
Matt, that's my
title. It's been a while.
Up to the crowd in the gallery right now.
It's my family's favorite winter Olympics.
I'm not very ice experienced.
Okay.
That's why I'm
looking forward to it, though. Nice. I'm looking forward to
it. We have to make sure we get video of you down there.
Yeah, we'll see.
Before we let him go, curl, question of the day. It's a double, so I never do this, but I did it because I was wavering. Who in your life most often walks on thin ice, or who never skates thin ice? So, like, in my family, like, I know, like, my husband would pick Adeline. She never skates on thin ice, you know, but the boys are always on thin ice, that kind of thing. And with multiple children now, I thought maybe it's a kid question. I'm not sure.
Funny, the first person that came to mind was me.
Okay. All right, there you go.
I can be an envelope pusher in my personal life, or you know, just depends. Yeah, but I mean, my kids are at the phase they're always walking on thin ice too.
Yeah. What's my world?
And then who doesn't walk on thin ice?
Well, you're fine.
You can answer one or the other. She'll let you out.
Yeah, okay.
I usually don't. And I'm not a multiple choicer, as we know. It's this or this. So, Nick, it's always a pleasure. We can't wait for the beginning of it all, but we also can't wait for June for this event to happen for Bites and Pints.
Yeah, no, that's what we're really excited about. That it's the Bites and Pints Food and Drink Festival. We're working with Brian Pekarsik, who is the chef behind BRGR and the very really popular Spoon restaurant. He developed this menu. It's like seven different international cuisine stations, all stationed around the lagoon. Friday, Saturdays, Sundays in June. Come ride.
That's awesome.
Come grab food. You know,
sounds very Epcot-like.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we're kind of take a page from them, and for people that maybe aren't as ride focused.
Yeah,
you know, come and eat, have a drink, enjoy the scene on the lagoon. Let your kids
ride.
That's
what my oldest son will want
to
do.
Nick Paradise, thanks, man.
Thank you guys so much for the opportunity.
And everybody finds you at
Kennywood.com.
I believe it.
Patrick Jordan. And for those who, when you hear his voice, you'll go back to rewind the podcast to listen to the montage, the audio montage, because Patrick is the guy calling somebody a jagoff on the opening.
It really is not, but we appreciate that you say that, so thank you. And so, Patrick, you know, we were just on your show, Alone Together. I mean, here's the crazy part about that. We were watching that constant, you know how you went through the Netflix phase, then you went through this phase, but not that it was a phase. We were literally, we thought it was so great that you were so, I don't even know what word I want to use. You were the one of the first people, like, all right, I think we're in this. I don't know how long it's going to be. What can I do to be resourceful, to kind of get people's attention? And I love the fact that it's not overly long. Like, you're not spending a ton of time on one person. So talk a little bit. If no one has seen Alone Together, what can they expect?
Alone Together Pittsburgh, like you said, we started it right before, probably 3 or 4 days before the lockdown came down, where everybody had to be shut down. So we were kind of the first ones out of the gate. And it started off just like you said, a bunch of us were just like, what can we do? What can be our part? We could see what's coming down the pipeline. And so we started it off. It was just going to be like in the original incarnation, before we realized the absolute severity of this, we were just going to have bands and a couple other people. Sure. And the bands were going to be playing live in a studio at 25 Carrick. And then we saw everything. We saw that was not going to work out. So we shifted to an all online streaming platform. And that's basically pretty much the show that you see today. It's kind of, you know, morphed itself over 180 some episodes.
Wow. That many episodes.
We started it.
Was it a bet? Yeah. Was it beers? What started
it? Okay. So it was basically like, what are we going to do to help out? All of our friends are in the arts world. They're in bands. They're in the restaurant industry. Everything was going to get rocked. So what can we do to showcase that and raise a little money for them, too? So we have a Venmo that's going on there. Because when we started, we didn't have any sponsors or anything. Yeah. So everything just kind of came along from that. And all the sponsorship stuff goes right to the artists involved with the show. Mm-hmm. But then what ended up happening after a couple of weeks, we had bands, we had artists, we had actors, we had musicians, we had everything you could imagine. And then it started to kind of morph into, like, we were having doctors, we were having accountants, we were having life coaches. We were having people who were doing food drives, places you could donate things. So basically, people started reaching out to us. We started the show like 2 days before Mr. Rogers' birthday. And then I got kind of overcome with Look for the Helpers. So we started a segment, who's helping? Send them to us and we'll showcase their stuff. We had a guy that ran a 47-mile marathon in his backyard. And his backyard wasn't very big to raise a few grand for the food bank. So things like that. And then our guests just went really wide, and the last year and a couple of months has been crazy, like 15 news cycles in one, and we kind of just rode that. We were doing 3 or 4 episodes early on.
Yeah, that's energy, man. That's
right. And then we started about 6 months ago. We just did 3 a week, and they're about an hour, give or take. If something's like amazing, we'll go a little bit longer. We don't have like a hard out, but we try to keep it. Now we're going to try to get a nice variety of people, and then we picked up regular contributors along the way that come on and do a segment here and there, like Natalie Bessavenga, Dave Bracey, Kate Romaine, Aaron Hart, those kind of people come on.
I love it that, you know, because it's on Facebook, but you could, YouTube is, it's
Twitch. We're on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, and we have an audio-only version of the podcast version that comes out.
I love the uniqueness of it, because you have some unique graphics that look like old-time games and things like that, and it's such a loosely structured event.
It's just supposed to be a conversation. Yeah. I mean, if somebody's, you're not hard selling anything. We like to just talk to people. Pete Spinda did all those graphics. Pete Spinda, Dave Mansueto, and myself run the show.
Yeah.
And at the start of it, Alexi Morrissey was with us for the first few weeks, and then we kind of like worked it into that. But yeah, we just wanted to have that kind of, well, it's also Pittsburgh centric too.
I mean,
we had our Pittsburgh polls. No offense. We had a jag-off poll.
Yeah. Hey, why wouldn't you?
But it was a term of endearment when we used it. And people were so – do you guys come across this all the time? Because when we started doing it, we had a jag-off. It was like the Jags place off.
And it was
all Pittsburgh stuff, and I wasn't even thinking. Plus, I didn't think anyone was going to be watching at that point. So people were like up in arms, like, why are you calling Michael Keaton a jag-off? We're like, no, it's Michael Keaton versus Jeff Goldblum for Pittsburgh.
That's actually how it started. Like, and then I knew it had been out, then it's, okay, what do we do?
Well, the polls hit critical mass. Once we started doing the jag-off polls, it started hitting people who weren't, when the show started, it was our networks of people. And then once the polls started hitting, it went It went almost it went Yinzer National. So basically everybody was in on it, and they were like, what's this all about? And like I said, we've had fantastic guests on the show. And it's just us talking. I mean, we've got a show tonight.
And, you know, we're fortunate that we've in the recent been on. And one of the questions you asked us that I'm going to kind of turn and ask you the same is, you know, and I'm assuming you're going to have the same answer. Does Pittsburgh run out of a pool of people to talk to? Right.
No. It really doesn't. It's pretty crazy. Like, it's ebbed and flowed. Like I said, three episodes of, like, you know, between...
Right.
Two and five guests an episode, depending on what we're doing. And it would slow down for a minute. We'd only have two guests. And then the next week, there'd be like four or five. Like, oh, this person's doing this. That's awesome. And that's happening this weekend. We got to get on that. We got to get them in there. It kept going. Plus, it ran out of people that I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was it. Like, I hit my network of people. I thought I knew
now,
a lot of people. But now it's just
looking for people, or are you finding that they're coming to you?
It's a mix. I mean, people are reaching out, wanting to come on. But I'm still, you know, I'm reading. I'm kind of tuned into everything that's happening locally. And if I see somebody that's doing something great, I'll just throw a shout out. Like, do you want to we had Byron Nash on the show.
Oh God,
he's just doing so. It was his third time on the show.
Well, now
and
it's
every
his
time
fitness
he's
stuff.
Doing
that's
something
what,
else.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's why right? I tuned in.
Now that's he's got it, fitness yeah, stuff, so it's just, and you know, just to put a microphone to what he's doing. That's all we're trying to do is, and we started the show to keep a sense of community during the lockdown. So I don't know how much longer we're going to be doing it. Yeah. So, I mean, as things are opening up, you know, we're at this fantastic curling facility here.
Right.
As things are starting to happen, there might not be a definite need for what we're doing. We were just kind of a response to that to keep things together. So, I mean, we might start phasing it out soon, depending on, you know, knock wood. Let's hope we're through this thing for real.
But your subscribers, everybody's going to want you to keep doing it somewhere along
the way.
Well, maybe
we'll do it like a little best of like a once a month reunion show, or maybe we'll cut it down to once a week or something like that. I mean, we'll see. We haven't had the hard talk yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, 200 episodes is right around the corner. We might want to get to that point.
And this isn't just a couple of monkeys doing this show. Dave Mansueto.
Dave Mansueto is a legitimate. He's an icon. If you don't know him, Pittsburgh, you should. He's a legend. He's one of the original godfathers of podcasting. He was one of the founders of Liberated Syndication. He's also one of the more talented people. He could host the show. You know what I mean? But he just wanted to kind of pull the switches.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's great. He's talented. Pete Spinda runs different festivals around town, music festivals. His DJ name was Pandemic Pete, so he might have to do a rebrand. Petonka Tonk Music Festival and those kinds of big things. So Pete's doing that. So we kind of used our, you know, forces for good here and came together. So, and you know, the show ends up looking kind of good. It's streaming. It's not just audio.
Oh, wow.
Thing,
did
so.
You
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it looks
and
great.
That, and
no,
I,
I'm just
I hand,
kidding, Patrick. I'm just kidding.
And it wasn't a knock. But I give that all to Pete and Dave
because
Dave's pulling the switches, calling the cameras, and Pete's doing the graphics while the shows are going on live.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, and it, you know, and we talk about it all the time. The idea of a podcast is so great right now because people that were podcasting are going to video. People that were video are going to adding to podcast. So it's all this podcast thing. It's not just audio anymore, and people want the video. You know, you read all this research to say that, you know, people won't watch any more than 3 minutes of video, blah 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 blah, but your show would tell you differently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. And when we started, we were gonna chop it up into bits and try to get that out there and give people little clips and stuff. That was a ton of legwork, and it really wasn't necessary.
Yeah,
I mean, especially I think the one thing is, you mentioned it before, it like people binge on Netflix, people did that, but they kind of, this thing went so long, people kind of went into different phases, right? So they kind of craved, you know, that connection of local, or like a couple of local idiots telling
it's
dumb jokes
intentions.
On occasion.
It's like going on a vacation and getting drunk too fast and then realizing, oh my God,
this
I have to sober up, because when we went to Fort Lauderdale in spring break, we all got drunk on the first 4 hours of the bus trip, never realizing we had 20 more hours to go, right? That's what everybody did at the beginning of the pandemic.
That's what it was. So they binged on it just like
happening?
You're going to Fort Lauderdale on Netflix and and backlogs of, you know, The Office episodes and all your favorite TV shows. And then they came back and they were like, oh, you know what? Something a little bit slower and less professional.
Yeah, that guy's still there.
Because I love the fact that, you know, you were looking for a revenue stream for people who did not have the opportunity, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was, too. And we also, we try to amplify that. Other people who were doing it, like Allegheny Eats, for instance, is a great organization. And they're, you know, they get meals for restaurant workers from the proceeds of what you buy from them. So just things along those lines. We've had different people doing, like Restaurant Workers Aid. We had everybody kind of on the show. The food bank was on the show.
Sure.
Basically everything trying to help out different organizations. And so many people were doing that. It was, it was kind of moving. Right. So, I mean, I got as much out of the show as the guests did. And I'm assuming that the audience
is getting it. Like I said, I watched last night with Byron because he's one of my favorite guests as well. But I knew that it was going to be a focus on what's he into now. Like you said, you know, he's another example. He knew he wanted to keep with his music, but where am I going right now? So, you know, he became this, I mean, as if he wasn't buff enough. And now he's like this crazy person.
Yeah.
Anything.
And he's so dedicated to everything. Like, you know, no, you talk about a guy mission-oriented.
Well, here's something funny. After that show was over last night,
of course,
Byron stayed on and talked to us for another hour.
Of course he was.
And was given, like, health tips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was just, it was just fascinating. So one thing that I took from that, I'll give it up right now. Drink 2 glasses of water when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah?
That's that was Byron's big
thing.
And you can look like him.
Yeah, exactly. So all it takes is 2 glasses of water, and you will have washboard abs and the arms of an Adonis.
She just said, "Stay away from McDonald's." So we're good. We have 2 good tips.
There you go. Boom. I mean, that's it. That'll get you started.
She was like,
I told her I like McDonald's. She started to shudder over in the corner. She's like, oh, my God. Right.
But seriously, though, the show, like we said, we're talking about Byron. Yeah. I could talk about any number of guests. Like I said, we're over 550 or 60 guests at this point and 180 episodes. I think we're on week 60 right now. So it's so we'll see.
But this isn't your day job. You have.
I run a theater company called Bare Bones Productions.
Yes,
and
sir.
Well, we had to shut down because of the pandemic, obviously, and theater is still kind of on hiatus. I think outdoor theater is going to be able to get some motion forward soon. So that was the thing. Like, we kind of regrouped, and Bare Bones Productions is kind of one of the sponsors of the show. We kind of like a conduit for it. And so that was another thing. We tried to promote as many of the arts as we could through that, because that's what. I do. So we're Bare Bones Productions. We're planning to come back hopefully in the fall, depending on how much we have to upgrade our HVAC system, or if we have to. I mean, it's only 2 years old.
Listen, we work
system,
with the steam fitters. We'll bring some.
I'm waiting to find out about. You work for the steam fitters. Fantastic. I'm a big supporter and fan of the steam fitters. I've got cousins that are in there, that would be
really?
Good. My family's steam fitters.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
okay.
we'll talk off air, but that's good. But yeah, so and the theater company we're talking about, we might be doing a live streaming play.
Okay.
Right. Kind of using the platform that we've got. We found a play that kind of works for the platform that we're actually using for Alone Together. That might be coming up towards the end of May, like maybe May 21st.
Yeah, let us know.
I'll know
that's
better
great.
About that in the next 5-6 days.
Let's make sure we celebrate
we'll
then.
Oh.
Yeah,
that'd be good. I like beer. I heard
Listen,
about this beer. I'm kind of disappointed there's not
I
beer
know.
Here right now.
It's literally in my car right now, but it's not cold, so it's a sin.
There's all this ice.
Right.
I've been here for a half hour. That could have been chilling. You are the Jagoff of the week.
Welcome to my world. No, Patrick, it's always a pleasure. And I told you when we were on your show that the episode that we did at Bare Bones was one of my first ones. And it's one of my fondest memories. And, you know, thank you for that because,
That was a blast. I wish I still had that wrestling ring.
Oh, my God. You know,
It took me 2 years to sell that thing.
Did
I thought it was going to be a lot.
Who doesn't need a wrestling ring in their life? Yeah. Mike Sorg bought it for his bedroom.
I think I asked him if he wanted to buy it. He was on the show. I was like, hey, anybody see this ring? It's only 2 weeks old. This could be yours in two months once our wrestling plays.
So that they can follow whether you're going to continue with Alone Together and Bare Bones.
Okay. I think Together PGH is the is our website, and barebonesproductions.com. You can find everything about Alone Together Pittsburgh on that page as well, and what's going on with the theater.
And we know we have to let you go because you have to go do your show, but there's a question today, but what did you think about curling real quick?
Oh, that was fantastic. I made a total fool of myself. but no, it's exciting for me because, like, this was, like, super appealing to me right now because I've never thought I would ever. You see this on TV.
Yeah.
This is almost like, I mean, I was going to say it's a once in a lifetime thing.
And that's
thing,
it. You don't
here.
Realize
this
it's here.
Here.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna, right. And we're going to come back.
I never would have known this was here.
Did you know that the ice wasn't smooth?
I did. I had a feeling that the ice wasn't smooth, but I thought it was going to be a lot more slick.
Oh, okay.
That it was. I don't know if all these right. grippers were doing yeah. the thing. And I didn't realize the flexibility and grace that was needed to get that thing off the block. Something that I have neither of. And but I will say this: I was this far from the button.
You did agree.
is what they told me.
You did. Yeah.
All right, here's the question
yeah.
of the day, Patrick.
All right.
All right. Who in your life mm-hmm. most often walks on thin ice, or who never skates on thin ice?
Well,
I
never
knew
skates
it.
On
I
thin
knew
ice
it.
Would be my daughter.
She's adorable.
Okay. I have a daughter. She's pushing three, and she uh-huh. has she's yet to walk on
I
thin
have a
ice,
feeling,
and
yeah.
I don't know if she ever will. And a close second to
go.
Not
good
walking
answers.
Out thin ice would probably be my wife.
So, listen, this was so a prep those, for those Mother's Day. I was just
there.
Making
so
sure
Eileen
all the ladies got the right answers.
Okay, fine. So my mother doesn't walk on thin ice either. And my stepmother doesn't walk on thin ice. Marzi Jane. Okay, so everybody's good. All the women in my life.
Patrick,
no one walks
always
on thin ice.
We have to have you back right. so we can know what's going on. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're a blast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thanks so much. I'm so thank like happy that you guys are doing it. This is amazing.
We have to get Dave out here on one.
We
that
need
voice.
To get Dave out here soon. I will make that happen. So whenever you guys are ready, I will let him out of his cage.
Swears the moon don't hang quite as high as it used to. She only sleeps when it's raining.
Guys, we're gonna get a Marley. I guarantee
and
you. We're gonna hear Marley. And Matt, he's going to remember because he met him a couple times
right.
before Harley.
All right. And we're listening to
Listen, did you love that music from Zach?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, this is how that story goes. Mary, in case you haven't heard me talk about my neighbor, Mary, she's the most wonderful neighbor ever, 21 years of a neighbor. I said, you know, we put together a podcast a little bit last minute in typical John and Rachel style. Can your son perform? And she's like, no, but my nephew can. And wow, did he kill it? So
yeah.
I'm so excited to hear more of his songs.
Right.
We're going to have to follow
we're
him.
We're going to talk to him later in the podcast.
Yeah,
but
Zach
now,
Kratzley.
The reason why we're here at the Pittsburgh Curling Club is because we went curling. And and we brought some people who actually do curling
yeah.
finally here.
Do you do curling? I mean, is it a do?
Oh, yeah. Is it a do sport or do you...
You curl.
You curl.
The art of curling, yeah. And so we're talking with Matt and Harley. I say that because if you heard me, we're going to get a Marley out of this somehow. But this is the team of people who are going to talk to us a little bit about, like, I want to know, it started at RMU, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then did you have such a demand that it was like, we need to find another location? Is that what happened?
So there's a lot of reasons that we've moved. Traditionally, you do not curl on hockey ice.
Okay.
So the ice that you were on earlier, it's well prepared.
Okay.
Right? So we pebble it, which you can do on hockey ice, but the hockey ice has a special dome effect to it because that's what you have to do with hockey ice. Curling ice is completely flat, so it doesn't affect the rock, right? So you have dedicated curling ice at a dedicated curling facility, and you can't do that on hockey ice. So that's why we've brought you here. To real dedicated curling ice, because it's much better than hockey ice. So
Them
he's
is
dropping
fighting
the gloves
words.
With the hockey guys. So I just remember playing hockey down at RMU, mm-hmm. and one night there was this ungodly crowd, and they were because it was Learn to Curl, and the people were lined out the door.
Yes.
So and then now you guys turn around and you build this arena. Is it a curling arena?
Club?
Space,
facility,
yeah. Facility,
facility,
yeah.
Up here in Stowe Township. And, like, we pulled up the hill. We're like, oh, my God, like, this is huge. I don't know what I was expecting, but I certainly wasn't expecting such a professional-looking facility.
Right.
Marley.
I
was just kidding.
So
no, I was just kidding. I knew I'd set her up. You see her eyes. She's like,
oh, he says I love
so,
her.
So, Harley, what kind of took... What did it take to get a facility like this to move away from RMU? Not that it's bad down there, but yeah.
Years, lots of hard work, volunteers, obviously a lot of help from the community and just people like in the Pittsburgh community, outside of Pittsburgh in general, because, mm-hmm. you know, we just love growing the sport all over the country. So there's always a lot of people who are willing to kind of, you know, make a facility like this happen for a club because – you want that availability for more ice time. Like when we were at RMU, we were curling maybe once a week because of availability, where now we can curl every single night. Like, so it totally changes the game for people. Mm-hmm. And we can have a lot more events like this with the Learn to Curl and have host more people and build our membership.
And so you, and what people don't see is you can see the ice behind us, but there's literally a class. Is that what happens every time people come in to do so? Is to walk us through. So I want to curl, because it's not do. Pittsburghers say do curl, right? We're doers, right? So if I said I wanted to partake, what would be the process? Do I sign up online? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. We have links right on our website. We have our next one on May 14th, and then we're going to be hosting them about every other week throughout the summer.
Okay.
So be a great way to kind of beat the heat and come curl.
Oh, my gosh,
but
right.
You can sign up right online, register, and then you can show up, and we'll kind of split everyone up into groups. We'll show them, you know, an introductory video and kind of walk through all the steps. And it'll be like a two-hour session where you're kind of learning all the basics, and then we'll have people throw like you guys did today.
Okay. So then the beginning steps when we were down there sort of on the – we'll call it a dock – right? We were on the talk. They're like, silly girl. So as you're kind of waiting to do so, the gentleman who was demoing was, and I was joking with Cousin Lisa that she was genuflecting, but there's like a lunging aspect to it. So is that something that you're conditioning them sort of ahead of time, that this is the proper stance, essentially?
Yeah, that is definitely something that we kind of show them, you know, safety-wise, too. And just, you know, all those basics. But yeah, once we get them on the ice, we do show them, like, here's your slider, here's your gripper, here's a broom. Like, and then it's like kind of that 1-2-3 lunging position of, you know, getting in the hack and kind of getting your momentum going and then sliding out into that lunge.
And so that really does take some core, in all seriousness, because
it's a lot of balance, yeah.
Yeah, and balance, because as I said, my family for the Winter Olympics, like, this is our thing. And my husband was one of those people with my cousin who wanted to put a team together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when you actually see it happening for the positioning, there really has to be that, like you said, flexibility and balance, right?
Yeah, definitely. As I kind of said down there, you know, a lot of people tend to lean on the broom more or the rock.
You actually said he's going to fall.
Yeah. The second, like, people, you know, will lean on one or the other, and they usually use the rock as kind of a clutch. But then the second they let go of the rock, they're like, whoa, I'm totally off balance.
Sure.
So, okay. Yeah, it's definitely a balance of, you don't want to lean one way too much or anything. So you want to stay centered to have, like, the full aspect. But
okay. I have so many dumb questions. I feel like I want to go rapid fire.
Be dumb
because, like, I want to know, is there a Zamboni? Was there ever
Zamboni.
Really a broom?
I mean,
a Zamboni.
There was a Zamboni.
But so Matt, let's go to you first. So
sure.
People listening to the podcast, you're in a wheelchair here.
Yes.
So this is a very adaptable sport, it would appear.
Yes. So I play a lot of adaptive sports, but curling is one of the only sports that you do, right? You're welcome. That you can do as a wheelchair athlete right alongside of able-bodied athletes. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to grow the club as more wheelchair athletes can come in. With the facility, it was built to all ADA standards. It's one of the most accessible curling clubs in the country right here in Pittsburgh.
Wow, that quickly. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think one of the unique things about it, not to toot my own horn, but toot.
I didn't know that was
right?
That.
So my team just won our in-house Bonspiel. Bonspiel is a curling tournament for...
Against my team.
Against Tyler's team.
Boom!
Yeah. So, I, you know, I'm one of the winners of many tournaments here.
You're a trash talker.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say for the final game, I did not play on the ice that game so that we did win. but because we had a shutdown with COVID, I am the reigning champion of our league as well. So thank God for COVID, because that let me have my championship a little bit longer. But you know, I curl with three able bodies, and you know, it's a great opportunity to come out. Families can do it. If you have an individual in your family that uses a wheelchair, they can curl right alongside their brother and sister or their parents.
I love it.
And I love the fact that that's a family opportunity, because I think if nothing else, you know, to your point, joking, of course, but COVID brought about, you know, family game nights, things
for sure
that they want to do. And while everyone wants to sort of kill each other because we've all been together, this is a way to kind of decompress and say, okay, it's still something, you know, in all honesty, people say that bowling was the number one thing that families did together. And I'm assuming this sort of is along the same lines. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
John did a gutter ball, but
yeah.
Even the fact of, you know, as you get older, we have people who stick curl, which is where for individuals who, you know, maybe have bad knees and they can't get down into that lunge. So they stand upright and walk, and they have a stick that would be like straight down where they can kind of clip it to the rock as Matt's did, and they just push it. So like you really can do it at any age, and you know, it's very accessible to everybody.
So let's go to the dumb question, if you don't mind. Like, was there ever really a broom in curling? Is that how it started? And then what does the broom actually do?
And one more layer to that question. Where did curling start? What's the derivative?
Oh, good question.
In Scotland.
Scotland. Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Good question. Right?
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. So Scotland brings both curling and golf.
Golf,
so,
right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're a golfer, you've got something to do in the summer. If you're looking for something to do in the winter and you want to do another Scottish sport, you've got curling.
Okay. So there really was a broom.
Okay.
Okay. And then what does the broom actually do?
When you're sweeping, it's kind of...
And that's what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're pretty literal with our terms of rock and
swim
and steam.
Ice.
That's hysterical. Okay. Go ahead, Harley Marley.
So when you're sweeping, there's a couple different purposes, but typically if someone throws it light and they need the rock to kind of go further, they'll have their sweepers to kind of help it. And so by sweeping, you're kind of temporarily, like, melting the ice to kind of make it glide a little bit further.
Okay.
So sometimes you can make it go an extra, like, 3 feet with sweepers, depending on how much, you know, pressure they're putting down and kind of that friction, like, heating up the ice in that moment to make it go a little bit further.
Okay. How do you keep score?
That's going to be a hard one to explain without visuals.
So it is not like baseball, right? Okay. So we have our ends, which are like innings in baseball. Mm-hmm. But the scoreboard, so if you're not watching the Olympics and you're coming out to the curling club, it is the end, right? So the end is the number that we hang.
Okay.
So the numbers within the middle of the scoreboard run 1 through 10, 11, 12. That is the actual score. Red is on top, yellow is on the bottom. So the number that we hang is the end. So if the first end, the red team scores 3 points, we'll hang the 1 above the 3 in the red.
Our Price is Right.
Yes, thank you, Alex.
Right?
So, Harley,
for the video, on the podcast, make sure you go watch the video on Facebook because Alex is our Price is Right guy, and he's about to go.
Right? So we have the end, right? So this is the first end.
Okay.
Yes.
And if red scores 3 points in the first end, we would put, Harley, I'm going to ask you to help me out here. We would put the 3. Or the 1 underneath the 3.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have the second end, right? Harley, go ahead. So yellow is going to score 2 points in the second end. It's going to go above the 2.
Okay. I'll trust you. Listen, I'm not playing with you because you can mess me up. If I was winning, I'd never know.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You'd be like playing poker with you. You'd be like, oh, show me your hand. I'll tell you.
So we'll go 2 more, right? So the third end. We're going to give yellow 2 more points. So that's going to go above the 4.
It's like an inning of a period, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in the fourth end, red did really great. So it's like a hole-in-one in golf, right? So an 8-ender.
Okay.
They've scored eight points.
Matt, John hates golf.
Right? So they scored 8 points in the fourth end, so they make all the way to 11.
No clue.
Wow.
Yeah. So at this point,
I feel like I'm in trigonometry class.
John, can you tell me what the score is right now?
Oh, my God, no. 5-5.
5-5.
You're laughing at us, Matt.
No. Matt's like,
11.
I'm telling you.
11?
No.
Yeah.
So 11 to 4.
4.
Right, so that score runs through the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we played charades.
Because Alex was like, Rachel! No.
We were clueless.
I'm still a little lost because I'm not a math girl.
So how do you resurface the ice? Like, you know, hockey, we know there's a Zamboni, but your ice is not what we call pitted,
pebble.
What you call
pebble.
Pebble,
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not literal, so we don't put rocks on the ice. Well, I guess we do put rocks on the ice.
You
right.
are literal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're not putting pebbles on the ice, though. So what we do, we have a scraper. So the scraper does pull some of the ice off, and that's like our Zamboni, but it doesn't run around in circles. But then before every game, we pebble the ice. So essentially, it's a water bottle pack that somebody wears on their back.
Oh, I've seen.
Right, like a jetpack, right?
Yep.
And then it has a hose that comes down, and it has a head on it.
Yeah.
The head looks like a shower head.
Yeah.
That has holes in it. So they're walking backwards from one end of the sheet to the other. And they're spraying this back and forth. Again, you know, if we're in church, right? So they're spraying the holy water.
Thanks for the
across relationship. the sheet so that that rock has something to slide on. And as Harley pointed out, the sweeping is going to break down that pebble so that it makes the rock do better things. But I do want to point out that wheelchair curlers are so much better than able-bodied curlers.
Oh, wow.
Because
he's such a trash talker.
Yeah. Because when it comes to wheelchair curling, we don't sweep.
Oh.
So our shot has to be more accurate
than
able-bodied curlers because we don't have that sweeping to help the rock.
Okay.
So then does the, like in a period of hockey, we Zamboni the ice, we clean the ice. So at the end of a match... At the end of a match, or do you re-pebble in between?
Before every game, we pebble the ice, right? So if you
game.
Right, yeah. So we have bond spiels that are coming up. So again, tournament and curling.
Yeah.
So we will pebble in between every game, and you typically it's a 16-team tournament. So we'll play 2 games, 3 games in a day, and we're pebbling before every draw. That's so
cool. How thick is the ice?
Oh,
we finally stumped.
Right? That's a stumper.
We're neither of us do, like,
we are not the ice crew.
I'm
yes.
I'm just curious because we had the guy who takes care of who manicures the PPG, and we were so
yeah. That's
we were interested. It's actually not as thick as you would ever think,
right.
But when we were down there,
it
seems very thick.
Yeah, so if I had to guess, probably between 1.5 and 2 inches.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Don't quote me.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen.
So we got to know a little bit about Matt and how that all works from his standpoint. Harley, what's your connection here?
Mine goes all the way back to a school project in 7th grade. Our teacher was like, hey, map out the rest of your life. And it was a year of the Winter Olympics. And me and my closest friends were like, we're going to be a U.S. curling team because what other sport would you have the most chance
agree.
At?
I
right?
agree. Yeah.
And so we all put it on our timelines and whatever. 4 years passed, and the Olympics were on again, and I was like, man, whatever happened to that dream? And so I found the closest club to my hometown in Toledo, Ohio, and it was 30 minutes away. So my parents started taking me, and so I've been curling ever since. And when I graduated college, I was like, I have to go somewhere that has curling now. Like, I'm hooked. So I'm really glad now that we have a dedicated facility.
So you're here in Pittsburgh now?
I am, yeah. I live here now, yeah.
So
I've been here for about 7 years.
Okay.
Oh, wow, okay.
Go Anthony Wayne Trail.
Yeah. And do you compete here?
Yeah, so, I mean, right now we just have, leagues and pickup right now, like, locally because of COVID and everything.
Sure.
But as Matt said, we do have some Bonspiels, tournaments planned this summer. We have about 3 of them already
That's
scheduled.
Great. Yeah.
We'll have out-of-town teams come on both of our aspects. We've both competed at a more competitive level. I'm currently going to nationals in, 2 or 3 weeks here in Wisconsin for U.S., so.
That is so cool. You might be some big plans coming up. Yeah. We don't want to jinx you.
U.S. Nationals is a qualifier for the Olympic trials. So if we do well there, there is a chance that we could go. Yeah,
I will be like, I know her. My yeah.
We'll be like, we met her. We were best friends one night.
I'll be like, Marley.
Matt's like, I don't even know them. Yeah.
And the buzz, as soon as we came in, other than you turn the lights on and you're like, wow. I mean, I don't know what we expected, but it was like, wow. Oh my gosh, this is so legit. But the other buzz was something's going on here May 15th.
Yes. So the Pittsburgh Curling Club is the recipient of one of the grants through the PA Paralysis Network. Mm-hmm. And we are hosting our next wheelchair learner curl. So again, trying to build our membership of wheelchair curlers. So it's open to any PA resident that has a spinal cord injury or disorder. They can come out, they can try it, and it's, again, May 15th at 12 o'clock, and we will be here training people to learn how to curl.
I love that. Mm. Can there be sponsorships? Can people, help in other ways?
Yes, okay. Yes. So we have the opportunity to put in-ice sponsors. So you see down on the ice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The houses. One house is dedicated to K&J Magnetics. They're one of our largest sponsors. And you also have the opportunity to put banners up. So if you are interested... Oh. Yeah.
It's about to happen.
Yes.
We're going to have you Jagoff.
If there's not
a
Jagoff banner here by that time,
yes.
I'll
be next
so
to the tap
angry.
Club for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you are interested in becoming a sponsor, you can always reach out to us. If you visit our website, PittsburghCurlingClub.com, you can reach out to us about sponsorship opportunities, and we'd love to have any and all sponsorships. So.
Okay.
No other podcasts That's other awesome. Than ours, though.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Rights. We will exclusively hold you down for your Jagoff.
Okay, perfect. Okay. I was just getting the official email. Yeah. He's like, bring me your money.
Yes.
Alex is like, I'm not missing this opportunity right now. All right, so this was such a good education.
Yeah,
like, I'm not kidding.
Awesome.
We will at least, we have to come back. Like, I'm going
to come do this for real. Yeah. We got a little bit of
did you really?
This is so great. So, off ice, Harley, what are you doing to sort of prepare for out here? You know, is it stretching and those kind of things? Is it genuflecting in church 29 times of being Catholic?
All
you know,
the
whatever.
Lunges, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of stretching. Obviously, you know, just kind of a general watching what you're eating to make sure, you know, a lot of stamina stuff. So kind of, you know, maybe some sprinting because when you're sweeping, you know, you're sweeping and then you're stopping. And then you're sweeping. And
yeah,
you're
right.
Are there only sweepers like and only throw like Matt, you'd only throw the rock, but the, you know.
Like position wise.
Everyone gets to throw position wise.
Okay.
So usually there's four on a team.
Does everybody have to throw? Like if you suck, you have to throw. It's not
Like
a
We'll put you in the lead position, though. That's you throw the first. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you throw the first two rocks, they'll be gone by the end of the end anyway. Okay. So. But that's okay. That's my position.
There you go. All right. Matt, I'm on the team with Matt.
I would be such a good sweeper, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Oh, my God. She's a nut sweeper. Yeah.
At home, like, we'll be on a conference call, and he's like, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, she's sweeping already. So I would be really good at that. We would be a good team.
You guys are awesome.
This is so interesting.
And thanks to Alex and Tracy.
Thanks for y'all interesting, because you know I've given away that if I say interesting, it's not.
Yeah, sure. So we're on a podcast. She'll say, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, oh, God, she's bored.
No, I love this. This is fantastic. All right, guys, you already heard the question of the day, and we heard where to follow. So is there social media?
Yes, we have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what are the handles?
Just Pittsburgh
Curling. If you search Pittsburgh Curling.
Okay. There should only be one.
Are there any like PG, you know, some have like for the Instagram PGH curling, you know, that kind of thing.
We'll look
okay.
it up.
Yeah. If
we'll
you search Pittsburgh Curling Club. If you're listening to the podcast, for God's sakes, don't panic. Just go to the show notes when you stop your car and get off your treadmill and just click the link because Colin puts all the links in there for us. So you
all
guys
right.
are awesome.
Guys, question of the day. You heard it. I don't like multiple choice, but I went a little bit off the cuff this time, and I have two different questions. You can answer either one. Who in your life most often walks on thin ice, or who never skates thin ice, Matt?
I'm going to answer both. So, first one, walks on thin ice, it's always going to be my older brother.
Okay.
Right? And because my parents are so wonderful, right, they never skate on thin ice, right?
Look at him. I love that. All right.
Look at him. All right.
Mine are my dogs.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to show favoritism.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's a mix of they trade off of who's the better one and who's not.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's funny.
You guys,
that's
this
funny.
Was so – this was more enlightening than I ever thought. You guys are – you're back at
any time.
Explaining, too, because if you don't see it, like you said, sometimes it's kind of hard. So other than that demonstration with the Vanna White stuff. But. All right. Well, everybody, you really have to come try this.
You guys have to. It's
summer.
Stowe Township, McCoy Road. Come up the road from Island Avenue as the bend turns real hard to the right. Don't do that. Turn real hard to the left.
Pack your cooler of Jagoff beer and check out our banner.
Yeah. All right.
She leaves the life as an old that quite as up as it used to.
Zach, what's up?
The world has been stuck out.
How about this?
For day.
Get some
calls. Doesn't he look like Ryan Yester?
Yes, exactly.
Crazy, yeah.
So you normally probably get calls from agents and say, hey, can you go play at this club? Or whatever. Instead, you get a call from your aunt, is it? And it says, hey, I need you to show up at a curling club and bring your guitar.
Yeah.
Probably the most bizarre request
sure.
you've ever had.
But he was so chill. He was like, all right. And then he's like, hey, guys, it's tonight. So, no, we appreciate it. And honestly, like, you picked a great song. What started you, first of all, into music? I mean, you guys are somewhat of a musical family.
It was the Yesters.
It was the Yesters. For real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Evan and Ryan. Evan was in a lot of pop punk bands when he was, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
Watched them, wanted to start guitar, started that, and just took off from there.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. That's really good to hear. So musically inclined, like starting from school, were you in the music band, that kind of thing?
I was not. I started in chorus in fifth grade, but that was the end of Scholastic.
So the voice came first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The interest in music came from the voice. Not the show, but your
we
voice.
We would sing in the car.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Country music, like
just
Diamond
like
Rio.
Okay. Oh, so
like
country.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And then
kind of got more into it.
Then the guitar, did you pick that up on your own from, because you're a young punk, did you like YouTubes and all that kind of stuff? Or did you actually go take lessons?
I did both. So okay. I was self-taught for a couple of years.
Okay.
Took a lot of YouTube lessons, just went online and learned songs. And then, okay. Took lessons from a guy over in Harmony, Dwayne Davis. Shout out to Dwayne.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Give it up, Dwayne.
There you go.
Come down and curl.
Yep.
Yeah. So your, you know, typical music questions of, you know, your influences and things like that. What do you, but more so, what are you listening to in the car when you're driving
currently
around? Currently.
Allman Brothers.
Oh, really? How about that?
A couple guys that you might not know, people from like Nashville and Austin. There's Eric Gales as well as Marcus King.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Very big into the blues and jazz influence.
Okay. I love the blues.
Yeah.
I could listen to the blues all night long, just people jamming on the blues. Yeah.
Are you noticing that Pittsburgh is, I mean, you're young, obviously, but are you noticing that we're coming back to this, like, small cafe, like, obviously not COVID time, but you can kind of perform anywhere?
Oh, definitely, yeah. So what I normally do is just private parties and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of my buddies play out whenever Mr. Smalls, whenever the Rex Theater was, mm-hmm. you know, rest in peace. But the Smiling Moose, stuff like down on the south side. A lot of Mr. Roboto. So.
Okay.
Okay.
If you had to pick only one other band member, keyboardist, drummer, trumpet player, whatever, to accompany you, what would it be?
A drummer. Keep me in time.
There you go. That's it, right? Are you performing now? We know that things are sort of just starting to open up, especially from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah, a little bit. Talking to a few bars right by my dad's house, over in Emsworth, Sunny Jim's.
Okay.
Yep, just talking to the – I just played golf with the owner, Jimmy Oliver.
Okay.
Now you can tell him that you curl.
Yeah, right. Curl badly. But
you could be like, you could meet me at curling. Maybe that's not your sport. I love not to interrupt, but there's people that are like falling as they're like, you look over and you're just like, someone's rolling around on the ice. It's hysterical. We have to hook you up because our friend Jamie at the block at Northway is always looking for people for their farmer's market to just kind of like do some solo stuff.
Sweet. Yeah, just give her my number. And
okay.
Go from there.
Awesome.
What's your most hated requested song? But you'll pay it. You'll play if someone gives you $5.
Freebird.
Right?
I feel like that's the musician answer, right?
Yeah.
You have to give that. Awesome.
Is it because it's hard to sing?
No. It's just because it's so overly
requested.
Yeah, and people expect something, right?
Well, so we're going to listen to Zach play Freebird as we go out of the podcast here.
Zach, we really appreciate, first of all, our last minute stuff. But, you know, showing up and you have a lot of energy and we certainly hope that this continues. Is this your main career or is this your side thing?
No, this is a side thing.
Okay.
I manage property, Class A office buildings off the Wexford exit.
Okay. Oh, look at you. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Look at you.
Boy, we hate you.
What a successful guy.
Don't we? Yeah. Like, why are you so successful at 22?
Yeah,
I was still sucking my thumb at
22.
Looking for free pizza.
Even at 42, that was happening. Zach, where does everybody find you? Do you have a couple of gigs coming up that people can know about?
Currently, no. They're private gigs, a graduation party over in June, and as well as a private party down in Upper St. Clair.
Okay.
Parties in Upper St. Clair.
I love it. But where do people find you? Social media and online?
My Instagram, Zach_Kratzley, as well as Facebook at just Zach Kratzley.
So. Comments on curling.
Very fun.
Did you like it?
It was fun, yeah.
Okay. Did you notice that you have to be sort of flexible and balanced, well-balanced?
Yeah, I didn't realize the that front foot
shoe
or whatever
that's
it's
what
called.
They were saying,
it might kept slipping over. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you fall?
I did not.
Because we were not down there when you went.
We didn't laugh at you because we didn't see it.
Yeah. We have you on video, though, so
all
awesome.
Right, Zach, we're going to have you again. We certainly appreciate the last-minute stuff. Question of the day, and you can do either one. Who in your life most often walks on thin ice, or who never skates thin ice?
I would say either my brother or me walk on thin ice a
okay, lot. Okay, there you go. Yeah, anybody who has siblings or has children understands that it depends on the day, and that's who I would pick. Zach, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you to all of our guests. This was super fun.
Yeah, thanks to Tracy and Alex who put this together.
Yeah,
like,
Tracy and Alex.
They really. Alex was a great host when we showed up. He goes, "My name's Alex, and I don't have any keys."
Yeah, and we're like, you fit right into our lives. right?
You're like, this is the way things go.
Oh my gosh!
So Tracy and Alex put this all together. Thanks to Zach. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Harley.
And thanks to Patrick, and thanks to Nick Paradise. Seriously, guys, we have to get back to supporting local. Kennywood is open. We have to go. Enjoy yourselves. It's safely done. Support.
And you will be hearing us talk about this thing in June at Kennywood pretty soon. So, and also thanks to Colin Parrish, who's always behind the camera, and Lair Bear, because Lair Bear is
going to get so much love.
There is no better time than now to trade your car. As I know right now, the trade-in is good for amazing new vehicles as well as certified and used cars. But listen, go new. Larry will hook you up. And no matter the car deal, you can expect the Rorick advantage.
Now that John's done giving away cars, the other advantage at Rorick is the parking lot of fun shows with comedians and musicians. Check jagoff.com for details. And as always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
She said it's cold outside. She hands me my raincoat. Always worried about things like that. She said, "Oh, Guinea, and it might as well be my fault." She only sleeps when it's raining, and she screams, and her voice is straining. She says, "Baby, it's 3 a.m. I must be lonely." Well, she said, "Maybe." And I can't help but be scared of it. Oh, sometimes the rain gonna wash away, I believe it. Gotta live for something. Oh, God, it's better than nothing. All approach her will to the leaves that she's got it. Oh, whoa. Swears the moon don't hang quite as high as it used to. She only sleeps when it's raining, and she screams, and her voice is straining. She says, "Maybe it's 3 a.m. I must be lonely." Well, she says, "Maybe." I can't help but be scared of it. Oh, sometimes the rain gonna wash away, I believe it. Life isn't all that quite as opposite used to. And the clock the world has been stuck at 3 for days. Leaves that happiness is a mask just sits on a doorway. But outside it starts raining. Send me. It's 3 a.m. I must be lonely. Well, she said, "Maybe." And I can't help but be scared of it. Oh, sometimes the rain gonna wash away, I believe this. It's 3 a.m. I must be lonely. Lonely, yeah. Well, she said, "Maybe." And I can't help but be scared of it. Oh, sometimes the rain gonna wash away, I believe it.